Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have been talking about angelology in the past year. Now we had a break over Christmas and New Year. And today we want to continue with part 11. And next week we finish the program with part 12. Our Bible text is from Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15, where it says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. In part 10 of this study about angelology, we covered the angelic activity during the church age, which started at the day of Pentecost and goes on up to the rapture of the church. Throughout the ages, angels were always occupied with announcements, with protection, with giving dreams, by encouraging, by meeting people personally. It seems clear, it seems that as we are drawing nearer to the time of the rapture, angelic ministry activity is increasing. During the time of the tribulation, the millennium, and the heavenly Jerusalem, we see that the angels are active like never before. Today we talk about angels abound in the apocalyptic vision. And we have 10 points in this. The first one is angels exalt the Lamb. When John saw the revelation, he wrote the same words that Daniel 7:10 also wrote. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands up upon thousands." There are not just a few angels, as some people think. The number of the angels is uncountable. Each has a name, and each has his own particular ministry. Some angels are preserved up to the end time when they have their task to fulfill. In John's Apocalypse vision, the raptured church is heard singing a new song, an anthem of praise to the Lord who was slain. By his blood, the ransomed saints were made kings and priests to God Almighty. The raptured church is not alone in giving adoration to the Lord and to the Lamb. John wrote that myriads of angels were encircling the throne, saying with a loud with a loud voice in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." This was the angel song of adoration, for they had witnessed the great humility and suffering of the Lamb, who was, and they saw him slain. Now they rejoice at the glory and honor that is unto him, for he alone is worthy. In the Revelation, you find many times that angels were praising God. They show how to praise God in spirit and in truth. They show the glory of God and how to worship him. And I encourage you to read through Revelation all these times when the angels were praising God, because you will learn how to pray, you will learn how to praise the Almighty. Second point, there are seven angels in the presence of God. Among the angelic beings, some seem to have come before the Lord of hosts at certain times, at appointed times. As we read in Job 1:6, where it says, one day the angels came to present themselves before God. Other angels were always before the Lord, because Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And here in Revelation 8:2, it says, it speaks of seven angels who stood before the Lord. So some come at appointed times, some are always there, and some are standing before God. Gabriel must have been one of them, because he said to Mary in Luke 1:10, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. Michael might also have been one of these seven, for he's referred to as one of the chief priests in Daniel 10:13. This implies that there are other chief princes in the heavenly hierarchy. The use of the definite article, the seven angels, distinguishes them from the host of heaven for a privileged position and particular assignment. The verse continues to them, it says, to them seven trumpets were given. Each of the seven angels received a trumpet. The sound of a trumpet is one of most significant sounds described in the Bible. The occasion for the blowing of trumpets was always a time of great importance. The occasion here is the apocalypse, the unveiling of the great day, the consummation of the heavenly history of a doomed world. Everything stands in readiness for the final blast of judgment, which will consummate the last judicial chastisement to be poured out upon the dominion of the Antichrist and apostate Christendom. These seven angels do not execute the judgment themselves, but they announce the dreadful things that will follow this blast. And third, we have angels with a golden censer. Before the trumpets of the judgment are blown, another angel is seen with a golden censer. We read in the Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Much incense was given to that angel that he might make it effective before God. None of the prayers that were offered should be forgotten. All that follows is an answer to the prayer of the saints. The result of the sounding of the trumpet will be judgment. The time has come to avenge God's own elect. At the sound of the seventh, which is the last trumpet, there were loud voices, as we read before in Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The sound of the seventh trumpet does not set up the kingdom of God on earth, but all of heaven rejoice of the certainty and of the accomplishment that will come. Number four, the seven angels with a vision of God's, with the vials of God's wrath. Revelation chapter 15, verses 6 and 7. And out of the temple came the seven angels, leading the seven plagues, clothed in pure and bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Mm-hmm. These seven last plagues are the consummation of God's judgment upon the earth, the worldwide kingdom of the Antichrist. The last of the plagues of judgment culminated in the gathering of the Satan-inspired kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14 to 16 says, "For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." This will be the great climactic event where the sovereignty of the earth is settled forever in the complete overthrow of the last Satan-dominated world system and the establishment of the world kingdom of God and his Christ. We will study more about that next week. Number five, Michael casts out Satan and his angels. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no room for them in heaven any longer. And a huge dragon was cast down, out and out, that age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. He who is the seducer, the deceiver of all humanity, the world over, he was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out with him. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So this is not a sign. This is not a symbol. The presence of Satan in the heavenlies is a reality. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and Ephesians 6, 12. Now has come the time for the final expulsion from the aerial regions and hosts of evil within. The holy angels, under the leadership of Archangel Michael, overcame Satan and his angels, casting them down out of the heavenlies into the earth. And so it says in Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. The whole company of the redeemed, together with the heavenly angels, are embraced in the call to rejoice. But to the earth, into which the devil is cast, a prophetic woe is declared. A time of tribulation such as the world has never experienced before. Number six, the angel with the everlasting gospel. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. When the Antichrist succeeds in silencing all testimony pertaining to God, heaven sends an angel whom he cannot silence. Praise the Lord. It's no longer the voice of compassion, but demanding the nation to fear God, for the hour of judgment has come. The ransom are, the masses are represented as worshipping a man whom Satan has energized and deified. The angel has everlasting glad tidings to preach. The scene of this time is no longer the church age when the gospel is preached, the gospel of grace is preached, bringing people into the reconciliation with God through the blood of the cross. The true church was raptured before that, up to the Lord forever. Now every restraint removed, the tide of blasphemous idolatry carries the whole apostate world to its judgment and inevitable doom. Many refuse to worship the beast and his image. Through their belated and fearless testimony, a multitude from the nations are saved into the millennium kingdom blessings. Number seven, an angel announces the fall of Great Babylon. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This verse is a prophetic announcement of the fall of Babylon, which details of its fulfillment are given in chapter 17 and 18. I went into great details about this Babylon when we were studying the book of Revelation. If you don't remember, you can go back and listen to that message again. The Babylon of old was a center of idolatrous worship. It was a system inspired by Satan to distract and destroy knowledge and worship of the true God, the living God. The system of Babylon, idolatry, or spiritual fornication, rapidly engulfed the nations, even contaminating the worship of God's elect. The angel is heard saying, "Babylon is fallen, is fallen," in anticipation of judgment accomplished. The particulars of the destruction and its effect upon apostate Christendom and the corrupted nations are clearly revealed in chapters 17 and 18. Revelation 19:1-6 records the celebration in heaven. The great harlot is judged. The true bride shall soon be revealed. Number 8. An angel announces the doom of the Antichrist worshippers. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." When we look at the account of the previous angel's announcement of the fall of Babylon, it is clear that the great political power, the consolidated empire of the Antichrist, turns and destroys the adulterous ecclesiastical system, who was first carried or supported by the world power to return in return for patronizing favors. This leaves the Antichrist in sole possession and authority over the whole world. The mask of beneficence is dropped, and the full development of evil is culminated by a relentless decree that rich and poor, small and big, must worship the beast and his image and receive the mark of absolute subjection and penalty by penalty of death. Immediately, an angel is dispatched from heaven, announcing with a loud voice that all might hear the doom of those who obey the blasphemous edict. Receiving the mark of identification is an open testimony of the total acceptance of Satan's counterfeit Christ. In the angel's warning, there is no breath of mercy. This time, he says, "Fear God," and "fear God," and it's a talk of wrath that comes against them. Then Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and the smoke of her torment, of her torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. These same angels, by whom the entire earth mission of the Savior was seen, now witness the holy approval of everlasting punishment of those who turn their backs on Christ to bow and worship, acceptance of worship of creature. Number 9, the angel with the sickle. Praise God. In the vision of the harvest and the vintage, we come face to face with a last administration of God's wrath. Angels are again viewed in their role and executors of judgment. The hour of judgment of the living apostate earth dwellers and the hours of reaping are both said to have come. The result is viewed as instantaneous. The earth was reaped, but this brief summary of the complete results is in vision only. This judgment must not be confused with the last great white judgment seat of God, of which are the resurrected wicked dead. It will be a harvest of judgment. There is no joy, no gladness in this reaping. There's a harvest of evil as well as of good. In a continuation of events taking place at the end of the age, the harvest of the good seed has already been reaped in advance of the culminating scenes. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 to 16. Then I looked, and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a crown, a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. In this vision, one sitting on the cloud was wearing a golden crown, which is a sign of indicating legal authority. And in his hand, a sharp sickle, an instrument of reaping, for the hour to reap has come. You may have noticed it always says another angel and another angel and another angel. Each successive announcement of judgment was announced by another angel as distinct from the previous one. He cried to the one sitting on the cloud and send your sickle and reap. The cry to the one to whom judgment is given, a Son of Man, is plainly connected with the administration of angels in the closing events of the world's war against God. Then number 10, the vision of Armageddon. In Revelation 14, verses 17 to 20. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs, that is about 300 kilometers. In our next study, we will talk about this battle of Armageddon and go on to the return of Jesus, the millennial reign, and then the heavenly Jerusalem. Today, we are still in the church age, in the age of grace, praise the Lord. The rapture is following, the rapture and its following evil will happen very soon. Therefore, it is imminent that we are prepared for that great day of the rapture. It will be a glory when we are going up to meet the Lord in the air. But only those who are submitted to Christ will be taken. We must be ready to meet our God always. Always, all the time, we have to be ready. Because many have gone out in the morning, they never came back home. A man once told me, oh, I don't care about God, I don't care about Sundays. I work. When I'm 40, I want to be retired. But the poor man didn't realize he wouldn't make it to 40. Our end can come anytime. We don't know. Therefore, we should be ready all the time. But the rapture will come, and we don't want to be left back at that time. The Bible says that the time that will follow the tribulation will be worse than what the world has ever seen. I don't wish for anybody to be left behind. Therefore, I admonish you to submit to God, follow his commandments. The grace and the love of God reaches out to you, for you to accept. Leave everything behind and receive his grace and love. Your life will be changed, and you will see goodness being poured into your lap. Amen.
Amen.